Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company, a proud, longtime supporter of Living on Earth. Since 1993, we've given 10% of our profits to efforts that help protect and restore the Earth. Everything from supporting organic farmers to spearheading organizations like Climate Counts, where you can learn how committed your favorite companies are to the fight against climate change. Learn more about our Profits for the Planet program at stonyfield.com.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, it's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Kellerman. According to the latest figures from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in the United States, one child in 88 has autism. The incidence has been rising steadily and rapidly, up 80% in just a decade, baffling researchers who have long believed that genetics play an important role in autism. But they lacked hard evidence until now. Three independent studies in the latest edition of Nature for the first time link genetic mutations to autism. Professor Mark Daly is lead author of one of the studies. He's chief of analytic and translational genetics at Massachusetts General Hospital.
The types of studies that we're doing now are things that really weren't even possible 2 to 3 years ago. So they've been made possible by remarkable advances in our ability to sequence the human genome. So in this particular case, we sequenced the genomes of kids with autism and their parents. And we were targeting a very specific type of mutation, that is, mutations that arise spontaneously. And we were able to detect in each of the kids with autism whether or not they had specific mutations.
A mutation, basically a misspelling in the DNA.
Exactly, exactly. So this is, you know, all of your 3 billion letters of DNA are inherited from your parents. Occasionally there's a spelling error. And these errors, if they occur in an important protein coding gene, could disable that copy of the gene.
So what did you find specifically?
So we found that compared to folks in the general population, the kids with autism had about twice as many very severe gene debilitating mutations. And these are still very, very rare events. The vast majority of individuals and the majority of kids with autism don't have these specific mutations. But the fact that there were more of them in the kids with autism allowed us to pinpoint very confidently a small number of genes as genuine risk factors for autism.
Autism is considered a spectrum of disorders.
Yes.
What percentage of autism do you think the genes and the mutations that you've found, do you think are responsible for autism?
Probably just about 1% from these particular genes. So we've identified in these studies three or four genes that have highly confident statistical evidence behind them. These mutations, while they're very severe, are found only in about 1% of the kids that we've studied. And, you know, that leads us to extrapolate in a way that's, you know, consistent with previous studies, that there are actually hundreds of genes that contribute to autism risk.
Can you test for this genetic mutation?
There's not a clinical test that's been developed yet. I think with some subsequent follow-on studies, these tests can ultimately evolve into additional diagnostics.
You're a geneticist?
Yes.
Nature, nurture. When it comes to autism, what percentage do you think is genetic and what do you think is environmental?
It's not an easy question to give a single answer to. I think it's clear that, you know, genes by itself do not cause autism in the way that a single gene causes Huntington's disease or cystic fibrosis. Now, it's hard at this point of our evolution in genetics, since we've discovered only a small fraction of the responsible genes, but that doesn't preclude the potential for very, very important environmental factors from also contributing to a large majority of cases. But ultimately, both of those lines of research, the genetics will be discovering more and more risk factors, the epidemiology will get more and more confident observations of risk factors, and these two things will then begin to fit together in a much more sensible whole picture.
Professor Daly, thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, it's been a pleasure to be here, Bruce. Thank you.
Mark Daly is Chief of Analytic and Translational Genetics at the Massachusetts General Hospital. Well, it's taken decades and billions of dollars to find these first genetic links to autism, but the research only explains a small number of cases. Dr. Irva Hertz-Picciotto is investigating possible environmental causes. She's principal investigator at the UC Davis Center for Childhood Autism Risks, from genetics and the environment, or CHARGE. Dr. Hertz Picciotto says research into autism and the environment needs more attention.
You know, I think people are starting to wake up that the genetics is not giving us the answers that were promised. And in fact, the money has been probably somewhere around 20-1 going to genetics versus what's been going to environment. So I think the small amount of money that's been invested in the investigation of environmental factors is starting to really pay off.
So you're the principal investigator for the study called CHARGE, the Childhood Autism Risks from Genetics and the Environment. Which proportion do you think is genetics and which do you think is environment?
Well, let me put it this way. I think that it's mostly both. I think that most cases of autism have some genetic susceptibility factors, but that those susceptibility factors are not enough to actually cause outright autism by themselves, that only in combination with environmental factors do you actually get autism.
Well, let's look at some of those environmental factors that you studied in this 10-year-long study that you've got, and it's ongoing.
Okay, well, we have a few findings that I think are quite important. One of them was that women who reported that they took their prenatal vitamin supplements before they actually conceived, those women appeared to be at almost a 40% reduced risk of having a child who later developed autism.
What's in the vitamins do you think that's maybe preventative here?
Well, it may be the folic acid, which is the amount that you get from diet is much less than those prenatal supplements, not the regular multivitamins. These are the specifically prenatal supplements that have 800 milligrams. And that dose may be what is needed at that time period in development, or at least for some women. What we also saw in that study was that the risk was modified by either the mother's or the child's genes that pertained to the metabolism of folic acid. So if they had a high risk or inefficient metabolism of the folic acid, then they were at substantially higher risk.
So mother's prenatal nutrition, what's another environmental factor you studied?
We took a look at the exposure to air pollution, and the way we approached it was we looked at where the homes were, where the mom resided at the time of her pregnancy, and we linked that to the roadway system in California. And then we said, where's the closest freeway to that woman's house? And if she lived within 300 meters, approximately a quarter of a mile, of a freeway, there was a higher risk that her child would develop autism.
Well, so far we've been talking about moms. What about dads? Do they play a role in this that may be not genetic?
Well, there is belief that dads could play a role for sure. We looked at the occupations of actually both moms and dads, and we did find that exposure to solvents may be associated with a higher risk for autism. And so there are a lot of chemicals out there that have potential neurotoxicity. Pesticides, I will cite, because pesticides are designed to damage the nervous system in some lower species. You know, it might be rats and gophers, or it might be insects. But there is no systematic testing starting in the prenatal gestational period to look at neurodevelopment. And that's the critical question here. So we don't have a system to protect us from chemicals that get introduced.
Dr. Irva Hertz Picciotto studies autism and the environment at UC Davis.